Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games are right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Yes, yeah, great to be with you as you head towards kickoff. 3 o'clock, the Panthers taking on the Sea Eagles, Carrington Park. It should be a terrific game of football. A few weeks ago, you may not have thought that, but with the way the Sea Eagles have been travelling in the past few weeks, anything could happen at beautiful Carrington Park. And what a joy and a privilege it is to join us on the show. Already, we obviously got MG, Michael Chambers. My name's Tony Squires. Peter Sterling is back. Sterlo, welcome.
Thank you, Tony. Nice to see you and gentlemen and listeners out there who I hope are out enjoying the sun but got the radio on listening to us.
Indeed. They're in a tinny somewhere, just on Lake Macquarie maybe.
I've just come from north and it's...
Nice.
It was... You were the only magnet that pulled me back. Otherwise I'd still be up there. And I can only assume looking around here and what I've listened to on the way down, it's the end of Brent Reed, clearly.
Oh, yeah, gone.
In nowhere. Well, you know, we last
I hope his team wins.
He might. He might have to start buying some bees, I think, to look after.
That's exactly right.
The Silvertail Rudy.
There's been a fair bit going on, Sterlo, and obviously we haven't spoken to you for a while. There's a couple of big stories this week I want to get to you. I don't know how big a story the conference system is, the idea. At the moment, we don't know. Peter Vallandi says it's just an idea, and there's so much to go into it before it becomes, you know, a working paper. But we see in the newspapers, as Michael Chambers pointed out to us, what the system is supposed to be. He says that's more detail than Peter Vallandi has actually seen himself. What do you make of it? You obviously played when those Sydney teams and those rivalries were huge. I was a fan watching from living outside of Sydney, but that competition was my world, so I can understand people being excited about that side of it. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I can definitely understand that, and there are some heavy hitters who are obviously behind this in Bennett and Gould. So, you know, you sit back and you consider it, but I guess seeing the model that I was presented first up, or I guess like everybody else, I'm not a big fan because, to be honest, I would hate, and I'm with MG, he mentioned earlier, I would hate to think that Penrith v Parramatta grand final is off the table, that South could never play the Roosters in a grand final. There are concerns, obviously, about, you know, are the best two teams going to make it through? Because you could, you know, conceivably, one of the conferences would have to be weaker at some stage, so you may not get the two best out of the, 18 teams at that stage. And I actually think travel is a huge component to it. I think it would be a huge advantage for Sydney teams to not be doing the travel. Take a side like Newcastle, who, you know, only an hour away, and when they come to Sydney games, pretty easy for them, but, you know, they're not doing that anywhere near as much as they would have been. I haven't worked it out, but I'd say that they'd be doing twice as much travel back then to New Zealand sides, possibly three Queensland trips down to Melbourne, Canberra, and that. I think it would be a huge advantage. And the one thing that it doesn't solve is...
That said, Pete, knowing footy players, they don't mind an away trip.
No, they don't mind an away trip.
Especially North Queensland.
Yes, I did see the mad cow in transit the other day. I'm not sure if the coaches would appreciate that. But you've got to modify. When you travel, you've got to modify your preparation for your next game. You've got to, you know, there's travel involved, and then that affects your recovery and how many days you might have. Now, Sydney sides, if they're just playing each other, don't have to those considerations from most of the season to take into account. Then the one thing it doesn't solve, which I don't know if we'll ever get to a situation we can, intrinsically we still have an unfair competition because we don't play everybody once and we don't play everybody twice. Mm. And that doesn't change with this. You know, we're playing two-thirds of everybody once and then you're playing one-third... No, playing two-thirds of everybody twice and one-third once. And it's...
Yeah, that's true. Although within the conference system, they each play each other twice. So the whoever lands at the top of each conference is going to be the best of those. It's just I guess, when you go to the finals, as we talked about earlier, whether you go across the two conferences to make sure you can have every opportunity of who plays who.
I don't think the fans would embrace it unless that was.
Yeah.
So that, you know, any teams could play in that grand final, because if you take away, you know, matchups, one day the Titans may be up against Brisbane, you know, how would that be? But we would never get to see.
No, it'd be about 120 to 110 if this weekend was aiming to go.
I think it would be 120.
Yeah. Thinking down the track, Tony.
Stella, what do you made? There's an assumption that if we go to 18, obviously the 17th team looked like it's going to be Brisbane, or we will be Brisbane at some point. This assumption that New Zealand has got the 18th team, is that the right call? Is the Central Coast, Perth, hard done by in all this?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I haven't explored it that much, Michael, to be honest. Obviously you'd have to look at markets and broadcast deals, and that would have to come into play. I live on the Central Coast. I think the go slow on that has always been a lack of corporate dollars there. Obviously, John Singleton, he had a ground there ready to go, but it never took off. And whoever thought of putting Manly and North together as a joint venture clearly understood the history of those two clubs. And it didn't work, Tony.
It didn't work.
The
same person is trying to put the lion and the zebra together at the moment in Africa. It's working out really well.
And the one thing is that we burnt ourselves going to Perth and to Adelaide and not backing our product. You know, we couldn't go back there again and not have it work. You know, it's. I look at the Sydney Swans as kind of a template to that. And over the 20 odd years of their existence, my understanding from an outsider's point of view is that they were gone maybe a couple of times.
Yeah, absolutely.
But there was that much belief from the hierarchy that this was a good thing, that and they backed them and backed them and backed them, and now they are a viable part of the Sydney sporting landscape. And I don't think we did that when we expanded early on. So we've got to get this right. We got to make sure that the decisions and the choices are right, and then we're prepared to be right behind them for whatever it takes.
Stella, being from the country as well, we chatted about that before you got into the show today, about the country areas and what we can do more for them. And I'd love to get your opinion on what you think us as a code can do for the country regions who are slowly dying.
And I don't think it's slow, MG. I think it's sad that we are now playing catch-up. You know, the previous administrations dropped the ball completely on this one. I'm a Wagga boy. I grew up in a really strong Group 9 competition that involved Tumut and Harden and Tamora and Gundagai and all of those places, and a strong teams in Wagga itself with, you know, it was the Kangaroo, the Magpies with their Turvey Park where the Mortimer boys came from. And that's just one here. And one of the saddest days for me ever was I got the phone call saying that the Wagga Leaf Club had closed down. Now, that was a central part of living in Wagga. It was part of the Eric Weisel field there, and that's now all been developed. Yes, we have a nice development out Kringle, you know, nice grounds and that, but it's, you know, I was like everybody, a young bloke in Wagga growing up. I played AFL on Saturdays and I played rugby league on Sundays. I played AFL for something to do and because we had a ball in our hands. But we've dropped the ball in looking after rugby league in the country, just across the board completely. The AFL have done a fantastic job of promoting their game. I've always been of the belief if you are a young player who wants to play rugby league in the country, you should never have to pay for a pair of socks or a pair of shorts. Yeah, they should be presented to you at the end of the, you know, and we need to get into the schools and we need to make it easy for young people to play. You know, that this should have been, and I know it was a conversation 20 years ago, but it's been downhill ever since, in my opinion.
Yeah. And look, and the conversation should only get stronger. As we said, Noel Cleal, he sent the email to Peter Blandis. There's been some reaction. There's been some, you know, cash thrown immediately, but it's a much bigger and more difficult picture than just that.
Well, when you consider the amount of clubs that now either don't field teams in the country, New South Wales country area, and I guess Queensland as well, and ones that don't have a reserve grade or an under 18s or whatever, it's a sad situation. And I know it's a cliche to talk about our grassroots, but they are our grassroots.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah.
Believe it or not.
Now, Michael Chemis, this is your first go at Believe It or Not. Very, very simple
It's
game.
Very confusing, Michael. Trust me. You're about to find out.
I listened to Reedy on the way to soccer last week, and he confused me the way he answered some of those questions.
Yeah. Oh, so he's very, very difficult.
You'll be trying to work out whether you believe it or you don't believe it is the way that you actually want to answer what is being asked of you.
Yeah. Correct.
Yeah, you sit there for hours just looking to confound us.
All right, this, believe it or not, is basically, the simple version is this. I'm going to give you a statement. You can tell me if you believe it or not and why. I'm going to begin with this. Believe it or not, without Adam Reynolds next year, The Rabbitohs will fall from the top of the eight to the bottom of the eight.
Oh.
I think that's a really, really good believe it or not. There you go. Is that it, Sterlo?
You haven't had much to beat, Tony.
True.
Come on, Michaels.
I believe I don't believe it, to be honest with you.
There you go. I rest my case.
So what do I believe?
I don't think they will, to be honest with you. I think Cody Walker, he's doing a... Yeah, look, I think the momentum shifted a little bit in terms of who runs that football team. I'll say Adam Reynolds doesn't do it, but I think with Cody Walker still in that side, they'll be a top four team.
I used to think what I thought I knew. I thought I put
a Twitter cat. I did thought a Twitter cat.
Yeah, I don't think they'd fall to the bottom. I think obviously a dramatic effect if there was no Adam Reynolds there. I can only assume they've got a real rap on someone who's coming through young grades. I know there have been names mentioned, but you don't let Adam Reynolds go, I wouldn't have thought, unless you've got, you know, someone
Plan B
in replacement. And, you know, Cody Walker takes over the reins even more. But they won't be as good or as effective. But I don't see them in the second half of the ladder.
No, I'm saying the bottom half of the top eight, just to make it more confusing.
Sorry. So
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm not
so
saying they're going to be. I'm saying they're a top four side now. They're going to be a bottom four side. Does that change everything?
Well, the bottom four is wooden spoon. I'm confused.
Bottom four of the top eight.
Oh, okay. Well, we're front row, sorry.
Like, yeah, this is good, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that.
Well, we just won an award for this is the best segment in the Southern Hemisphere. Yeah. It was voted at Morpeth. There was a terrific awards night.
You could have said they go from finishing in the top four to between fifth and eighth.
Yes, and I believe
then we'd have known.
Yeah, I could have said also they're going to finish six spots above whatever, six.
Or the sheet that we were given says that we dropped out of the top
eight.
There's
a whole range of things I could have
all
said.
The sheet, all the sheet. I've
run out of time. I've got no more answers. No more questions.
Let me read it again.
No, that's good. No. He knows it. He's got it.
You got it, MG?
I've got it.
Yeah, what do you think?
They will make the top eight, but they won't finish in the top four.
So he believes
you believe it.
I believe it.
Thank you very much. There you go. I feel somehow vindicated.
No halfback, new coach. It's going to take a bit of teething problems. I think they'll still make the eight and be still a bit of a juggernaut, but they won't make the top four.
I love it. All right, believe it or not, Jerome Luai and Nathan Cleary deserve to be the New South Wales halves, MG.
Believe. Yeah, I believe at the moment they do. And I think with a punctuation mark today against Manly, that will even be more reinforced.
I believe it. I think the very fact Jerome was part of the squad last year and he's playing better football and I think more influential football. He's actually overshadowed Nathan Cleary in a number of games this year. Partnerships or relationships in Origin is very attractive, especially you're talking about in the halves. And if Penrith continue on the way, they're the best team in the competition. They'll have the highest representation. He's been one of their very best.
Yeah, I believe it. And I think there's a chance to set your halves up for the next five years there with Luai and Cleary. Definitely believe it.
All right, believe it or not, the Raiders' premiership window is shut.
I don't believe it.
No?
I'm giving them some time. They were my grand finalists against Penrith before a ball was kicked. Every team goes through a down part. I'd like to think the fact that this is the down period for the Canberra Raiders and we'll see their best in the second half of the season because I think the squad and the roster is there to be successful at the end.
I believe it's shutting. Does that count? I don't think it's shut, but...
just a little crack.
Yeah, just a little crack. I don't know. I could see them coming back this year and making a little bit of a run, but once this year's over, I think the window will be closed then.
Okay, just a zephyr of a breeze coming through.
I'm with Sterlo. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I had them as well. I had them, South and Storm and Penrith in my top four. So I think, you know, once they get Papalihi, Hodgson back and Croker... Tarpany back to his best form. Cook They've got staff. Some very good players in that team. George Williams, don't forget, was out before the game, was before a ball was kicked the other night, so that was a big blow. But
and you're right, Sean's Nickel Klugstar has been
massive. Massive out. So I think they're still going to be featuring in the semi-finals, but they need to start winning. That's four in a row.
All right, there is your award-winning Believe It or Not for this week. Michael Chambers, thank you so much for your efforts today. Outstanding, my friend.
Appreciate it, boys.
We'll catch you very soon. Sterlo?
That'll do, mate.
What do you mean?
You're sweethearting him, aren't you?
Well, he's got to go. You should see what I say about you and
your
leaving.
Whether he's got to go or not, I'm just saying that his performance in that was...
Just
diabolical.
Okay.
Stella, it's better than Reedy's. It's better than Reedy's. There you go.
That's true.
It's a low bar, MG.
Stick around. Stella's going to tear strips off somebody else after this.
Triple M Saturday Scrum. The King G. Triple M rocks footy.
Mark Iyer, Peter Sterling, Tony Squires with the Sterling. We were so caught up in talking about the conference system and various other bits. I haven't had your takeaway yet from a couple of these games. I'm just interested in your thoughts about, for example, the Broncos and the Titans, which was just a ridiculous game of rugby league. Entertaining, but nonetheless ridiculous. As I said earlier, they weren't just dead and buried. They were cremated and their ashes scattered. But they came back won that game.
Yeah, I don't want to be wise after the event because that's the easiest thing in the world. But they had no football whilst those points were being scored against them. Three from tries. The test was always going to come when the Titans had to do something defensively. And the week before, they capitulated against yep. South Sydney on the back of six of games, and they did so again this time. So even though the scoreline, had blown out, I always thought that the test is still there for the Titans, and they failed miserably a couple of weeks in a row. They've scored, 58 points in 2 weeks now, so an average of 29 per game. And they've got beaten?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Well, that's unheard of.
Yeah.
Unheard of.
And if you have a look at some of the defensive decisions and formations, some guys are just not on the same planet.
Yeah.
In regard to that right side. Now, Jamal Fogarty doesn't know what Kevin Proctor's doing. Sami's, unless they sort those kind of things out and there's trust. If you're getting carved up out wide, you're inside men. I don't get technical, but your inside men have got to work hard. They've got to push up and out really hard. And by doing that, it allows your outside defenders to actually make decisions and slide. And there's just none of that. There's no work from it. Mate, David Fifita, if you have a look at the amount of times he was walking defensively, he's a behemoth and a beast with the football, but they needed more from him defensively last night as well. There's a lot of work to be done. I love some of the stuff that Gold Coast Titans do. Yeah. Now, the try they scored last week from their own line was the best try I've seen this year. But they've conceded, 40 last week? So they've conceded over 70 points while scoring nearly 60 themselves.
Yeah.
And a good example of that, Sterlo, of watching something unfold in the first half and then addressing it in the second half was Melbourne against the Sharkies, where that first half, Sharkies were making a lot of inroads on the edges, and then all of a sudden, obviously, half-time belly aches address that, and then the wingers were closing in, the centres were talking to their wingers. It's communication, and that's something the Titans' defensive line just don't seem to have at the moment, or they panic really quickly. And the Melbourne had a guy on debuting, and he's fantastic in defence, and Olam was fantastic in defence because they were trusting their process. But the Titans at the moment, that's an unbelievable stat, 29 points in a row in two games that they've averaged and they've lost. There's big alarm bells for their defensive structure.
I think the best advantage of what you're talking about is actually Remus Smith. If you remember, when Melbourne got beaten, Remus Smith and George Jennings, who were new to the club,
that's right,
found out.
Right,
and Craig
side.
Bellamy,
yes.
It was raised to him, and he said, "Yeah, we'll deal with that." And now he dealt with it, and they know what's going on, and you've got to have that in your defensive line.
But there's obviously that systems and getting all that right, all that communication right. Justin Holbrook talked about it's like coaching under 20s at the moment, and we've used to see those games with the big blowouts or both teams scoring lots of points. But what about the attitude? That's the cliche thing about defence. From Brisbane, they let those tries in early, yet they were stalwart on their line for parts of that second half. You can turn around when you see the glimmer of that W.
They had three tries scored from kicks.
Yep.
He made the point, Kevin, that it wasn't, we weren't caught out defensively as such, like we weren't overpowered or, reading a defence. It was just well-placed kicks, and maybe Sarko will need to have a look at his positional play. But, they weren't exposed defensively that much, despite the fact they were trailing 22, because three of them came from just great kicks that probably, if you get those kicks right, they're indefensible.
Yeah.
Now, the fullback's playing in the line now, and if you can get it right, every team should be scoring every week from one of those kicks. And if you're not doing your homework and you're not executing well, because it's on for everybody. It's just the Gold Coast nailed it three times in a row early on.
What about Tyson Gamble? He comes into a number 7 jersey that has been obviously problematic for the Broncos. big-bodied kid. He was obviously bellowing orders out, so he was organising. He was digging into the line with the ball in hand. He was kicking early, so he's got confidence about what he does. There's no guarantee he's going to be wearing that seven jersey for a long time.
Well, who knows what'll unfold there. He reminded me of MG. He just stood there and he put the chest out and he was bellowing. Yeah. And he's just, and look, you know, if they needed a voice. You know, that's what they've lacked. They needed a presence. And this young man came in and he's obviously grabbed the opportunity with both hands. The shapes of formation, again, without getting technical type thing, they looked better because he was where he needed to be, and everybody else then slotted in where they needed to be outside of that. Playing as a playmaker, it's so much about body language. It's contagious. If your teammates see your body language is strong, they feel good. If all of a sudden, you know, something goes wrong, the head goes down, their heads go down as well. And he just handled it superbly. You know, yep. He was physical, he kicked well, he defended well, but he was just in the right spot where everybody else could then just fit around him as to where they needed to be. Yep. And none probably more so than Anthony Milford.
Stella, we don't know where all these halfbacks are going to land once they, you know, come off the so-called merry-go-round, but certainly at Parramatta, Mitch Moses has been, you know, terrific and an important cog there. Apparently being offered a lot. I think there was a so-called secret meeting with Adam Reynolds today from the Broncos. So what do you see? Is there pressure going to a place like the Broncos? Does he want to stay with the Eels? What do you would you like to see?
Well, clearly there's huge pressure going to the Broncos, yeah, because the expectation would be... I haven't spoken to Mitch lately, but I look at him. I don't think I've ever seen him enjoy his football more. I don't think he's played better football. I think he understands that there is an opportunity where he's at. The boys obviously like playing with him. And you don't go for just money in this game. If you can get close to what you want, you'll stay for other reasons for less. And I think Parramatta with Mitch Moses, you know, I don't think he needs to go to Brisbane and have to prove himself again under that type of spotlight. Things are going well now. I'd love to think that he's going to sign for a few more seasons yet, and things will only get better for him and the side.
Triple M, Saturday Scrum, the King G. Triple M rocks footy.
So over 20 minutes now to kick off the Panthers taking on the Seagulls. Carrington Park should be a great game of footy. We're going to preview all of that action, some of the other games that remain in this round 8 of the NRL. What's happened, though, in the Harold Matts, MG?
Yeah, well, Manly's decision to partner with Blacktown Workers has proved prophetic because they've just won the Harold Matthews Grand Final against Parramatta, 24 points to 12.
24-12.
And I believe so. They've gone through the year undefeated.
I think that's undefeated, yeah.
Yeah, wow.
Congratulations to the Seagulls.
Good on you, kids. Good on you, boys.
And a little lift for the NRL side, as I said, that kick-off 3 o'clock, taking on the Panthers at Carrington Park. I was just seeing, Stirlo, looking at the story today, just some of the stats from inside the gyms of the various clubs. Mm-hmm. And who's the, you know, the strongest. And the Roosters, I don't know if you'd be surprised, know that James Tedesco is the fittest, the fastest, and the strongest. So he's, you know, pressing whatever
he's
doing.
Is he human?
Yeah, I know. It's bizarre, isn't it? Brett Morris got the Telstra tracker. That's his, 33.9 kilometres against the Sea Eagles.
Tony, I had a look through it. It didn't greatly interest me. I want an intelligent quotient in there. I don't care what you can lift in it. Mate, I was told you before, I never did weights. Weights are training for me. I wait until they finish so we can go and do something else. Is there any IQ in there? Who's got the highest IQ?
No, and it is very important, obviously. No.
Business acumen,
and see,
something like that.
You know, look, going through days, going back to my... Eric Groth was the strongest in our club. Yep. Would lift the machines, was the fastest in our club, but would only go 400 metres in a car. Like, no durability whatsoever. So I'm not quite sure what all that stuff tells you. Like, you're good in one thing, but you're not that good in others.
Yeah, I've seen him
drive. Although Tedesco's good in everything.
He was pretty much like a car in several of those runs. He did. What about you, MG? Were you good at, you know...
He was
throwing
big.
Big and strong.
I was 108 kilos. Like, I was compared to the modern-day rugby league player, I was small. And I was probably one of the top, you know, three or four biggest in the competition, that 108 kilos.
In the world.
In the world, man. But I think I did 140 once on bench press. I could never do deadlifts because I was too tall. Could never do squat, it would hurt me back. And And
you're an asset to the team.
I could do 140
on bench press.
Yeah, like 40's not much. I could do one of them.
Well, I think you're saying 140.
No, one set of 10. I meant. One set.
Oh,
of 10.
Not one.
Not 140.
No, a set.
140.
Like a, yeah, tens. Ten, we're talking about tens, yeah.
I do love it. All right. So who is the?
But still, you would have started with road runs when you first started. I was in the back end of that 13K. You know, I did one with Alan Jones at Balmain, 13K time trial, and I wasn't in any type of condition to run that fast. So myself and Jason Sinclair at the time, God bless his soul, we said, look, just hold back a bit, mate. You know, he said, what do you want to do? I said, I'm not running 13K. So when everyone ran, we jumped in the bushes and ran up the road, hailed a cab, jumped in the cab. I said, mate, take us heavy. I had no money. So I said, come to the Balmain Leagues Club on Sunday night and I'll give you your money. I said, this is me, like, you know, blah, blah, blah. This is my name, my number. Then he dropped us off about 200 metres from the finishing line. We jumped out, had under a hose. I finished first, he finished second. Alan Jones goes, you guys are the fittest in the club. Thank you, boys. Thanks for leading the way.
You might have seen Eric Grote in those bushes. He might have gone with you.
No, I think, there's a few in there. Few players in the bushes.
We'd start the season with the 10K road run at Mount Pritchard on the right. Like, and I wonder now why I've had both hips replaced and I need a knee replacement.
And speed, we'd run in speedos too. What was that? Oh, we used to run in speedos.
No, you used to run
in speedos.
No,
you still run in speedos.
Oh, come on. I run in skins.
The Triple M Saturday Scrum for King G. Triple M rocks footy.
So nice to have your company. All right, we're heading towards kickoff. The Panthers taking on the Seagulls, Carrington Park. A few weeks ago, when Tom Trbojevic made his return to the Seagulls side after losing that sprint down the Corso against Harry, the Tigers fan.
He had a shower, mate. He was in the shower.
That's right. He slipped in the shower. Yeah.
Yep.
When he returned, Daily Cherry Evans told Manly fans that Tommy isn't a Superman and you can't expect him to single-handedly turn everything around. Clearly, he was lying. He is super. He's done an amazing thing. Given a few weeks ago, Sterlo, if we'd been talking about the Panthers and the Seagulls, we probably wouldn't be doing with the expectation that there is right now.
No. This game didn't have the attraction a month ago. No, and, you know, almost like everybody, I think, well, Tom Trbojevic comes back. They're a far better side, but he's not the panacea. Like, he doesn't solve all their problems. Well, last couple of weeks, they won, since the beginning of 2019, they've won 76% of their games with him in the side. They win three quarters of their games when he's playing.
Right. Well, he may represent this very thing then.
When did beer move in? Evict your beer fridge and refill with Canadian Club. The next big thing.
Indeed. All right, Stella, what is the big thing? Is it Tommy Turbo? What have you got for me?
Yeah, that's the way to go. But I'm going to look at Penrith, best side in the competition so far. And I'm thinking the big thing for me is Matt Burton cementing his spot in the centres. And I feel for Paul Mavroski, who was playing outstanding footballer, but just shows what a great position the Penrith Panthers are in. He was brought in to deputise Matt Burton, but I just think that he's played the type of football that makes it almost impossible for Ivan Cleary to change that side. And so my big thing is that he just cements it a little bit further this afternoon up against Manly.
Love it. MG, what's your big thing?
Oh, besides Paseka and Kikau, who are human eclipses, I would say that Turbo is definitely one of them. I think Nathan Cleary is the best player in the competition as we speak. I think over the last fortnight, Tom Turbo is the best player in the competition by what I saw. So whoever gets the ascendancy today are them too. I think their team will win. I don't think it's a lay down bazaar for Penrith today. I don't think it's a given that they're going to beat Manly. I know the bookmakers are saying they're $1.17 and Manly are $5, but I see this is a danger game for Penrith, and I think they know it is, because what Tom Turbo has done, he hasn't just come into the team and been fantastic on his lonesome. He's made all those around him better. Kieran Foran's grown an extra leg, you know. Daly Cherry Evans has been fantastic. Blokes like Brad Parker, Schuster in the back row, his brother Jake's picked up. So I think Turbo and Nathan Cleary, whoever gets the man of the match today, obviously their team will win.
I said the other day that when I looked across the dressing room and saw Ray Price getting changed to go out and play, I got very confident.
Yeah.
I remember thinking to myself, we're going to be all right this afternoon. If I'm a Manly player and I see Tom Trbojevic getting changed, I get that same kind of sensation. The confidence in the camp through the roof. MG's exactly right. Everybody's playing better around him because of his presence. But he's put to the test this afternoon. Like we're wrapping Manly on a couple of great performances. But they go to a new venue here where Penrith have had a lot of success and they have a great affiliation with the area up there. So I'm really looking forward to it. Well, I'm working with Maroon, so I'm really looking forward to the game. I agree with it's. We get a gauge here of, you know, we're kind of both sides to a large degree, I think.
MG, you mentioned earlier, do we underplay the performances of Panthers? I mean, what their record is in terms of club footy, taking the grand final away, it's ridiculous, isn't it?
No one's talking about South Sydney winning seven in a row. You know, we're talking about Broncos winning one from 48, or we love talking about the low things in our game. And
the low all those fans of those clubs we talk about, we really don't see you as low lives.
He was looking at you, Tony, when he said it.
I was looking at my food out there on the table. Yeah. Yeah, look, I really think. What was he talking about? Sorry.
We're talking about the good, the positives. The Panthers.
I love a Freudian slip. Yeah,
the Panthers, they win today, it's 23 in a row. And when I grew up, I used to hear about this team who won 11 comps in a row called St. George, and they were kind of mythical. Well, I don't think we pay enough attention to these guys who have won in this hardest competition in the world, 23 in a row, if they win today.
All right, and do they win today? One word?
They win today.
They win today. Peter Sterling, do they win today?
I do, but I think we get a contest.
Okay, will be a great contest. You'll hear it right here. The Panthers and the Sea Eagles as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.